Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Today, we're going to be talking about what I call paying the ultimate price. Because remember, we're talking about 3 days that changed the world. This series this month is all about what truly happened at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And, you know, we use this terminology that Jesus died for my sins. We use this terminology, you know, kind of casual terminology that Jesus did something for me at the cross or he died on the cross. But it's terminology that we have no idea what it really means. We have no idea what we're saying. Therefore, our faith is never really involved in it. And therefore, there's no life or no power that comes from that information. Listen, this is going to be a game changer for you. This message will always be available on our website, as well as this entire series, as well as all of our series that you can use for Bible studies. You can use them in churches. You can review them over and over again. They are there to bless you. So get ready. Send out a Facebook message. Get all your friends on this. Here we go. 3 Days That Changed the World is a series that is designed to connect you with specifically what Jesus did through the death, burial, the resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. What happened in all of these phases? You can't operate faith in that which you do not know. Just saying you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead is not faith that God raised Jesus from the dead. It's specific faith in what God did when he raised from the dead. This series is a life changer. You know, I was reading and meditating in the book of Revelation the other day, and I was about overcomers. You know, when the Bible talks about the end times, it actually talks about people who endure, and people who overcome. Now, a person who endures is a person who survives, but they survive under pressure. They survive by the skin of their teeth. They just barely get by. But according to the definition of the word overcomer, an overcomer prevails against the enemy or prevails against the obstacles. And I thought, man, I don't want to be somebody who endures life. And, you know, those principles apply to everyday life, not just to the end times. I don't want to be somebody who just endures. I want to be somebody who overcomes, who prevails over the situation. Well, the book of Revelation gives the factors that are involved in the heart of an overcomer. It says they overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their life unto the death. Now, we could talk about the blood of the Lamb. That's pretty simple, straightforward. That's a person who has faith in what happened by the blood of the Lamb. Now, let me say this. Blood, all through the Scripture, always represents the pouring out of wrath or judgment. That's why in the Old Testament, all the sacrifices, there was no forgiveness of sins apart from the shedding of blood. And why? Because shedding of blood said that the wrath for the sins has been paid for. It's been satisfied. So overcoming by the blood of the Lamb means that we understand, or our faith is in what happened in the blood of Jesus. Of course, the second thing is, it says by the word of their testimony. You know, I thought about that for years, and finally one day I thought, I'm going to look this up in the original language and just kind of dissect this a little bit. Well, when it says the word of their testimony, that Greek is the word logos. And that's the same thing that has to do with the word of God. And, you know, I'm kind of leaning toward the idea that when it talks about the word of their testimony, it's about their testimony being based on the word of God, being based on the truth. There's a lot of people have a testimony that's just about their personal experience. And that's good that you have a personal experience that you can tell people about. But if you can't tell people the scriptural basis for that personal experience, then they have no place to go to operate faith, because faith is always trust in what God has said or what God has done, and is always based on what God has revealed through His Word about the Lord Jesus Christ, about who He is, about what His names are, all those kinds of things. And, of course, they love not their lives unto the death. So really, they're not trying to hold on to this life. They are totally free from the fear of death. And that's, you know, those, that's the three components of being an overcomer instead of just being someone who endures. But I want to go back to this. We're talking about this whole thing about being an overcomer starts by the blood of the Lamb. Starts by dealing with what the blood itself did, what the blood itself represents, what it means to us. Now, I said this in my introduction. You know, we're really incredibly ignorant of the message of the cross. The church talks a lot about the message of the cross, but the honest truth is the average believer really doesn't understand much about what that means. See, the message of the cross is the focal point of eternity. The message of the cross is the focal point of everything that God has ever said up until now. And sadly, or ironically, we know less about the cross, even though we probably reference it more than anything else. We probably know less about the cross than any other thing that has to do with the new covenant. Now, everybody just makes a statement, Jesus died for my sins, Jesus died for me, or I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. But in truth, I don't believe the word of our testimony, the logos of our testimony, is not consistent with the logos of God, the word of God. You know, the Bible says that we experience salvation when we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Well, what does that really mean? And, you know, next week we're going to get into the resurrection in a way that probably many people in the world have ever heard, but I'm telling you something, it's Bible, and the people who have heard it and the people who do preach it are people who see incredible things happen in their own life and in the lives of the people that they minister to. Now, I want you to understand, you know, last week we talked about the exchange. We talked about what happened on the cross. We talked about the fact that Jesus was our reconciliation. And the word reconciliation is the same as the word exchange. An interesting thing about that word reconciliation, if I remember correctly in the Greek, one of the aspects of that word means to buy something back, but to pay what it's worth. Now you stop and think about that. If God paid what you were worth, He paid the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that you are as precious to God as the life of the Lord Jesus. Now, that's a pretty incredible thing. But sadly, because of what most people or what many people believe about the cross, they don't really connect with the love of God through this because they don't know what really happened at the cross and in the grave and in the resurrection. They just think, okay, Jesus died and you know, a few minutes later, God raised him from the dead. Or that Jesus died and he just went to heaven when he died. Well, we'll get into that. But Paul talked, you know, we read last week about Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. And that's why we want to realize that the Bible talks about the fact that, you know, that Christ became our sin. We became his righteousness. He became our sin. That's the exchange. Matter of fact, let me read this. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." Now, I want to point out something to you here that I think is incredibly important. There is a false Luciferian doctrine that's going around today that says because Jesus died for the world is already saved. They just don't know it. And so in this corrupt version of the gospel, the idea is that oh, you just discover that you're already saved, and then you rejoice about what Jesus did for you. But that is totally contrary to what the Scripture says. That's totally contrary to what Paul says here. You notice Paul says that we're ambassadors and we're pleading with you on Christ's behalf to be or to become reconciled. Now, this was after the resurrection of Jesus. So even though Jesus had already died for the sins of the world, it was a finished work in the fact that his part of the work was finished. But our part of the work isn't finished until we believe the truth about what Jesus did for us, and through that faith, we enter into that. And when we believe the truth, we are baptized into the body of Christ. So So it's really, really important to realize that even though this has been done by God, that doesn't mean everybody's saved. You know, that is a false message that is destroying lives all over the world. And you notice he goes on to say, for he made him who knew no sin to be or to become sin, that we might be or become the righteousness of God. So these people are not righteous. You know, this same corrupt doctrine says these people are already righteous, they just don't know it. I want to tell you something. Righteousness isn't just a gift that God hands you like a package and said, here's your righteousness. Righteousness is a power that works in us that changes how we think, how we feel, how we function. Righteousness is something that starts inside of us and always comes and expresses itself on the outside. So, you know, and see, the problem is men are always trying to reduce eternal realities to our finite intellectual understanding, to make it something that we can intellectually grasp. But I want to tell you, you want to run from any message that minimizes what Jesus has done on the cross and what we have in Him. So the first part of the cross is what happens in the exchange, in the reconciliation while Jesus was on that cross. You know, He took our sin, sickness, disease. He became all the curse of the law. All of these things that the law said would come on somebody, He took those things so that we would not have to. Now, in this thing about the exchange, you got to remember, Jesus, He became or He suffered everything that we would have to suffer if He hadn't done it for us. That means if anything was left out, then we would have to pay that price. If any part of it was Jesus had not covered that base, then we would have to cover that base, and we would have to face it and conquer it with our own faith instead of Him conquering it with His faith. So the second part of the reconciliation is where Jesus was alienated from God. You know, hanging on the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And again, people say, well, God didn't really forsake him. No, let me explain to you. God did forsake him. You know why? Because he had become sin. In the book of Isaiah, the 54th chapter, he talks about how basically he turned his back on him. He had to, for a short time, he had to do this in order for the price to be paid for all generations, in order for us to have a salvation, in order for us to be delivered from all of these things. God, he was rejected of God, and he was rejected as men. And of course, we read those scriptures last week. He was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity. He bore our sorrows, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him. It says, for the transgression of my people, he was stricken. And it goes on to say in Isaiah 53, it says, you make his soul a sin offering. And now, I want you to understand something. There was a sin offering in the Old Testament, and that sin offering was a type of what Jesus did on the cross. Now, that sin offering, the priest would lay his hands on the sin offering and confess the sins of the children of Israel, and they would be imparted to the sin offering. And then the sin offering, he would die for those sins. He would be put to death by the priest for those sins. Well, in this case, God, as it were, laid his hands on the Lamb of God and imparted to him the sins of the world. And it wasn't the Roman soldiers that killed him. It was God himself that smote him so that he would never, ever, ever have to smite us. Jesus paid this ultimate penalty in that he dies the death that we should die. He is alienated from God. We should be alienated from God. And as a person who has become sin, you have to realize that when he died, he did not go to heaven when he died. If you'll remember, when he was raised from the dead, he told Mary, I think it was, he said, don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended. He had not yet ascended to heaven. Why had he not yet ascended to heaven? Because he had prophesied of his own death, and the scripture had prophesied of his own death, that he would spend 3 days and 3 nights in the grave. Now, I mentioned this to you you before, if we are so naive to think that from Friday night until Sunday morning is 3 days and three nights in the grave, then you think if we stumble over, if we let tradition blind us on something that is that obvious, what else have we lost through tradition? What else has religion and the customs and traditions of men stolen from us about the finished work of Jesus? Now, you can't operate faith in anything you don't know. You can't believe what you don't know. And so one of the reasons people live in such a limited faith is because they don't know God's report about what happened through the death, burial, and resurrection. Therefore, their faith is kind of an ambiguous faith in the fact that God just raised Jesus from the dead. So really, for most people, that just kind of means Jesus died and God raised him from the dead. Well, let me tell you something. A lot of people had been raised from the dead. But see, the book of Revelation 1:18, Jesus says this, "I am him, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. "And I have the keys," which represents the authority, "I have the keys of Hades and of death." How did he get the authority of death and hell, or death and Hades? Well, he got that authority by conquering the grave, and by conquering Hades, by, with his own faith, believing God, and God himself raised Jesus from the dead. It's really important. You know, the scripture doesn't say that Jesus raised himself. It says that God raised him up. Why did God have to raise him up? Because, see, remember, Jesus was the Son of Man on planet Earth. Everything that he did allowing God to work through him and yielding to the Holy Spirit. Well, the same matter, when he died and became sin, he died and became sin. So he is a man who has become sin, alienated from God. He didn't have the power to raise himself up, but what he did have was faith. What he knew were the scriptures about the resurrection. What he knew is what God had promised for thousands of years. What he knew is all of those things that the Word of God tells us about the fact that the Son of Man, the Son of God, would be raised up. So now, it's really important that you understand this, because you see, the reason death and Hades have no power over us is because we're in him. Now, we got a physical body. We're here on planet Earth. See, this is one of the things you just can't even get your head around this. You're walking around in a physical body, but in an eternal sense, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus, you're already in him. See, there is no time in eternity. There's no yesterday, there's no today, no tomorrow. There is only right now in eternity. So when you believed on Jesus, as when you believed that God raised him from the dead, you confessed him as your Lord, you were baptized into the body of Christ, and that happened in eternity. There is no time frame in eternity as to when that happened. And if you don't believe in Jesus being raised from the dead, confess him as Lord, then you are never baptized into the body of Christ. The victories that we share with him, we share because we are in him. So you see, when I die, this is why I know. When I die, I'm not just going to lay in the grave. I'm not going to take, we used to call it, before I got saved, we used to call it taking a dirt nap. I'm not going to take a dirt nap. And I'm not going to go to purgatory, and I'm not going to go to Hades, and I'm not going to go to hell. When I die, because I have been baptized in the body of Christ, I will immediately, as the Apostle Paul says, be with him. Why? Because that's where I am anyhow in the eternal sense. Now, listen, this gets beyond anything you can wrap your head around. You can't calculate this. You can't work this out in some kind of legalistic equation that makes it all make sense, because remember, we are looking at all of these spiritual things inside of this context of time and space, and we're trying to grasp these with a limited, finite mind of a human being, whereas these are eternal realities that exist outside of the scope of time and space that cannot be comprehended by the carnal mind. But I tell you what they can be. They can be experienced by faith. And when we trust God, we experience these things in a way that supersedes our intellect. So death and Hades have no power over us because we are in him and we share in his victory. So he took our sentence of death. And he went to Hades immediately upon dying there on the cross. Now, years ago, there was, you know, the King James says that Jesus went to hell. And it quotes the scripture, you know, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither shall my body suffer corruption. Well, that word hell is actually the word Hades. Now, and some bad theology came out about that. Matter of fact, Carmen, I think, even had a song about this. And I'm not trying to kick Carmen here, but you know, this song about Jesus going to hell and the demons tormenting him. Listen, the demons are not in charge of hell. Satan is not the prince of hell. Satan is the primary person that's at the lowest rung of the ladder in hell. Satan and the fallen angels and the watchers who corrupted the seed of man, they will spend eternity in hell. And hell was originally created for the devil and his angels. Now, so Jesus didn't go to hell. He went to Hades. See, at this time, or until the resurrection, death was divided into two categories. There was the bosom of Abraham, and then there was Hades. Hades was the abode of the wicked, the doubter, those who died outside of faith. Paradise, or the bosom of Abraham, was those who died trusting God. And so Jesus, he went into Hades. And the scripture says he went to Hades. I mean, you can't escape it. You can't get over it. You can come up with some questions, but you know, you never use the obscure to explain away the obvious. But in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 24 says, "But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." You notice God raised him from the dead. He didn't raise himself from the dead. Verse 25, he says, "David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, his heart is glad. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave." And that word grave is the word Hades, "nor will you let your Holy One see decay." So this lays the groundwork for where we're going next week. You see, he makes it clear, this is a prophecy. This is not David talking about himself when he says, "I saw the Lord always before me." This is how Jesus survived and overcame in hell. Because, see, the word of his testimony wasn't, "This is how I feel about God." It wasn't, "Oh, God has been so good to me." The word of his testimony was the word of God that had been spoken about him. The word of your testimony. You know, thank God for any personal thing you can share, any personal healing, anything that Jesus says. Thank God for any good thing that's happened in your life. But the word of your testimony has to be where you know, you acknowledge, you trust in what God says about you. Otherwise, it's the emotion of your testimony, or the logic of your testimony, or the intellect of your testimony, or something else, but it's not the word of your testimony. And so Jesus says, "You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence." Man, I'm telling you what, Jesus, he was in the grave in absolute faith. Now listen, don't blow up on me. I have a lot of people blow up on me. "Oh, how can you say my Jesus ever went to hell or went to Hades?" Well, you know what, I say it because it's in the Bible, but I'm telling you this, you can't overcome the fear of death until you believe that Jesus paid this full price, that he died, he went to Hades, and he was raised from the dead, and none of that has power over you because you're him. Listen, I'm going to be back with a mentoring moment. You don't want to miss a word of this. You know, one of the things we're going to be doing this year, we haven't done this in several years, we're going to be having heart physics weekends in various places. I want you to be sure and watch your calendar, because there's something that occurs when you are live in a heart physics event that is totally different than what happens just by doing this at home. And I'm not saying that there's not benefit to doing it at home, but I'm just saying there's something that happens synergistically. One of the things that we have seen based on the principle of agreement and harmony, in the New Testament, it talks about people getting in agreement and things happening. When a group of people come together in a room and they are there for the same purpose and same intention, incredible breakthroughs can happen that people often don't experience on those. So be sure, be in Huntsville for a Heart Physics Weekend in October and watch for a Heart Physics Weekend in your area. And be sure to get our app. It will help you keep on top of all of this and everything else that we're offering you. Remember, faith comes by hearing the Word. The Word, it's talking about the Word of God. It's talking about the Logos of God. You can't operate faith in anything that you haven't heard. 3 days that changed the world is going to plug you into everything that happened on the cross, in the grave, the resurrection, the inheritance, in ways that you probably never even considered, but it's going to be the keystone of your faith, and you're not going to be blown in the wind and blown with every wave and tossed to and fro. Your faith is going to get sure and established. You know, one of the greatest struggles that people seem to have is experiencing the love of God. Well, when people want to experience the love of God, they generally just kind of go to, I don't know, some mystical abstract place and try to feel around inside and figure out, does God love me? That's not how the Bible says to do this. We connect through the love of God by thinking on, pondering on, meditating on, and experiencing what occurred at the cross more than any other place. 1 John 4:10 says this, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now, the word propitiation in its most basic form means the satisfying of wrath. Now, this is a reference to the expiation, if you will, by which an injury is made good, or an injured party is reconciled. This signifies how by substitution of an animal or human life, things are reconciled. You see, this is exactly what the Old Testament was showing us through all of the sacrifices. It was showing us that there has to be some place where sins are paid for in the body of a person that would take those sins on. And Jesus took those sins on. Well, the Bible tells us that this propitiation, this satisfying of wrath, that this is the place where we connect to the love of God. Now, if you reject the truth that Jesus literally paid the legal price, there was a legal reconciliation that He became your sin. If you reject that, if you reject the fact that He suffered your punishment and went to Hades for you and then fought this battle for you and won this battle so that you don't have to win it, then the truth is you have no place to look to experience the love of God other than through some philosophy. And that's how people end up in cults. That's how people end up in totally unscriptural concepts. And that's also how people end up getting blown to and fro with every wind of doctrine because they're not looking to the cross. When you study, read, ponder, and consider what Jesus did for you at the cross, you'll discover and experience the love of God.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts and our videos. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.